Welcome to Soundbites, true stories told by local Mainers and nationally recognized storytellers. The themes are always changing and the hosts are from all over the nation, but when you hear the name Soundbites, you're in for a unique storytelling experience. Soundbites is made possible by the generous contributions of Allagash Brewing, Frontier, The Press Hotel, and by the listeners of Maine Public Radio. This story was told at Frontier in Brunswick, where the event's dedicated theme was Mum's the Word. Here's today's host, Vermont-based storyteller Kevin Gallagher.
If you're all ready, I'd like to bring up our first teller, who is Bruce Coffin.
In my previous career, I was a detective sergeant for Portland PD, and I was in charge of the homicide and violent crime detectives, which, trust me, is a far cry from writing novels. And my story starts in 2001. At that point in time, I thought I had a pretty good handle on where my life was headed. And then a curveball came my way. And at the time, we were working on a homicide of a young girl from Maine named Amy St. Laurent. And that was a monumental effort for everyone involved. It was a six-week process before we were even able to locate this missing girl's body. And ultimately, the story has a good ending in that we were able to try and convict the person responsible and put them away for 60 years. But it was a horrific crime. And why it marked a change in my life was for a couple of reasons. The first was that as a police detective or a police officer, you get very good at stealing yourselves to the things that happen every day, the horrors that people can do to each other. And you have to. And I think if you find in your own interaction with law enforcement, sometimes they seem a little distant or a little aloof. Part of that is a defense mechanism to make sure that we don't allow things to get in here. It's very difficult to do that job for that many years and not have it bother you. So this particular case, unfortunately, we all failed miserably. We could see Amy as our own daughter. And when I tell you that we failed and we allowed the armor to get a chink in it, we did. Adding to that was that her family came every night. I swear to God, it seemed like every night they were making us dinner to keep us going and bringing it to the station. And we were not seeing our own families because we were working around the clock to solve this case. And they became very close to all of us as well. So during this time, after we solved the case, I met for the first time a woman by the name of Kate Flora, and I called Kate my doctor. Kate was at the time writing, co-authoring a book about this murder case that was published, and it's called Finding Amy. And Kate co-wrote this book with my boss at that time, Lieutenant Joe Laughlin, who commanded CID in Portland. And it's a great book if you ever get a chance to read it. And my first contact with her was something I didn't want to do. None of us wanted to go talk to her. We knew she was a novelist, and we knew what her purpose was. But when we were told why she was there, we knew that it was a case that was so personal to us that none of us really wanted to share our feelings on this case. We were afraid of exploitation. We were afraid of all kinds of things. And I was forced, basically, by my boss to go down and at least talk to her. And Kate is such a charming, engaging woman that within about 5 minutes' time, I was comfortable enough telling her things about this case that I hadn't even told my wife. So that would start a friendship and a prolonged relationship over the years where Kate and I, every time we saw each other, would sit down and talk. One of the things that we had in common was that I had always wanted to be a novelist. Law enforcement was not my first choice. I had a bad experience in college with a professor. We had a difference of opinion. I thought I was a pretty good author, and he didn't. And so that really changed the course of my life, and I think Kate coming back into it really made a difference for me. So this happened in 2001. Skipping ahead, in 2012 I retired, and 6 months prior to that I had begun writing. And it might have been the advent of the iPad. I don't know what it was. I got an iPad. I was very excited. For the first 2 months, I thought it was only for playing words with friends. I had no idea what an iPad was for. But then I realized that I could put words together and type sentences, and it was very cool. I hadn't done that since college other than through report writing. And so About 4 months after I retired, Kate reached out to me one day, and she was writing a book, and she wanted to know if I could have lunch with her that she would pay for, and of course I readily agreed. And she wanted to ask some questions about law enforcement procedure that I could help her with. Well, my big quandary was whether or not I would dare to tell her that I was writing a novel. To make a long story short, that's a whole nother story. I was successful. It took me 3.5 years, but I signed a 3-book contract with HarperCollins, and my 3rd book will be out in October. And I largely credit Kate Flora with getting me to this point. She was just unbelievable. When I say mentor, I mean that in every sense of the word. Well, the weird thing that happened was, so the book is done. The first book is called Among the Shadows. And not to be too self-serving, but there's a copy of it out in the hallway. And the book after that is also out in the hallway. But the first book is done. Okay, everything is new to me. As a new writer, this is so exciting. And I realized that this thing I've spent 3.5 years doing is about to go out into the world. All right, it's like sending your kid off to the first day of school, right? You watch them get on the bus, and you want to get on the bus with them. That's what this was like. And so I have finished the copy edits, and I now know that when I send this manuscript back, whatever's wrong with it is going to be wrong for all eternity. And so I'm very reluctant to send it out. Well, I carry it for a couple of days, and my wife says, well, just think about it. What are you going to do? And she took a day off in the middle of the week. This starts a series of events. And she had an appointment in South Portland. And so she said, why don't you drop me off? You can look at your manuscript some more, and then when I'm done, you can pick me up and we'll grab lunch. Well, as it so happens, where her appointment was a couple of miles down the street from where I had set the climactic scene of my novel. So I thought, you know, I wrote this story in wintertime. But the actual novel takes place in the fall, and I had made up all this stuff. So I thought, geez, before I send this back, it's the most important scene of the story. Maybe I should go there and walk through and just sort of see if there's something else I can add that will give an element of realism for the reader. So I did just that. I went down and I walked through this place. I can't tell you where it is. You'll have to buy the book to find out. But I walked through this place, and it was very weird because the first thing that happened was I felt like Scrooge the next day, right? He wakes up and he can see where Marley came through the door, and he looks at the window where the Ghost of Christmas Past was. And all of that stuff seemed like it really happened. I had relived this story in my mind so many times, this fictional climactic scene, that it was real to me. It was like walking through a traumatic event in your life and revisiting it. And I thought, this is how the cheese slides off the cracker. This is exactly how this starts, right? So I finally got out to where the actual serious incident happens that's the high point of this book. And I closed my eyes and I smelled the things that I could smell for that sense. And I listened to the sounds that I was hearing and looking for anything I could add that would make this scene pop to the reader. And I finally made the decision, okay, I'm done. I opened my eyes, I turned around, I'm going to walk back to the truck and I'm going to man up and I'm sending this book to HarperCollins. And there it is. And as I turned around and looked, 50 feet away from me is a memorial bench, an inscribed memorial stone bench. And I walk up just out of curiosity to look and see who it is. It's Amy St. Laurent. 15 years earlier, I worked that case, and I met Kate Flora because of Amy St. Laurent. And I'm thinking, this is supposed to happen. Think of all the things that could have gone differently that day, including my wife taking the day off and having me drive her to an appointment right down the street from where I set this scene. I could have set the climactic scene anywhere in the world, but I picked there. So I was friendly with her mother, Diane, and I reached out to her privately, and I said, you will never guess where I am, what I'm looking at, and why I'm here. And I said, it's almost like Amy is here with me. And she said to me, Amy's with you every day. Thank you.
Bruce Robert Coffin is a best-selling author of the Detective Byron mystery series. Former detective sergeant with more than 27 years in law enforcement, Bruce also spent 4 years working counterterrorism with the FBI, where he earned the Director's Award, which is the highest honor bestowed on a non-agent. So thank you very much, Bruce.
We went backstage before the show to catch up with today's storyteller, where they shared some personal tidbits not included in their story.
Bruce, what got you interested in storytelling?
I would have to say that was reading Stephen King's Salem's Lot as a young man. That was probably my first foray into adult fiction. And I remember how bad it scared me, and I remembered how much it made me want to be a writer when I grew up and tell stories.
Hmm. Now, that's a very... That's very interesting, because my next question is sort of, how do you prepare to tell a story? And it sounds like you're already a bit of a writer to begin with.
I am. For me, I write novels. I write mystery novels. And so really, the preparation just starts with a seed of an idea, and I go from there. And sometimes those translate well on stage for telling a story about how I created the novel. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it may be something that was in real life that caused me to want to revisit a certain thing and make a story from that. But that's pretty much where that comes from.
Yeah.
Might be just a seed.
Yeah, great. Now, clearly the story that you told this evening is incomplete in some way. Is there some little snippet or some part of it, or maybe even some personal part that you sort of didn't include or left out intentionally that you'd like the listeners to this to sort of know about?
Yeah, there is probably one embarrassing thing. I was trying to think of an answer for this question, and that would be that the day that this happened, I actually realized when I got back to my truck that I was wearing mismatched socks. And as my wife can attest, that often happens. I focus on what it is that I'm focused on, and everything else sort of takes a back seat. So it was almost laughable after what happened.
Have you ever done the two different shoes, or socks is about as far as you go?
Yes, socks is as far as I go.
Okay. All right, good. All right. And one more question, Bruce. What's your affinity to Maine? What's your connection to this amazing state?
Born and bred in Maine, and it's where my heart is.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Soundbites is made possible by the generous contributions of Allagash Brewing, Frontier, The Press Hotel, and by the listeners of Maine Public Radio. Special thanks also to Toad & Co. More information about Soundbites, including how to attend a live storytelling event, is online at soundbitesme.org. And of course, you can always hear more stories at mainepublic.org.